They were mounting up again. "But we've no time to lose. It is 20 miles through jungle to the falls." If you've never travelled in jungle, you may be under a false impression, thanks to the tales of blowhards who'll tell you how they've hacked their way through impenetrable undergrowth and been lucky to make 2 miles a day, battling snakes and great hairy spiders. Well, such jungle does exist, and sufficiently hellish it is, as I should know who have gone my mile in Borneo and the Fly River country. But, as a rule, it ain't so thick. And what you have to look out for is where you're putting your feet. Even such good rainforest as the headwaters of the Blue Nile has its hazards, like sudden swamp and potholes and solid fallen trunks which crumble rottenly and drop you unexpected into the slime. By and large, though, it's fair going, with more trees than thickets and space to move in. I reckon Ulaba and I made a good 4 miles an hour, which is faster than marching, and if it was hot work, it wasn't unbearable in the shade. I doubted if Theodore's cavalry could do as well. With luck, when we circled back to the river, we'd be comfortably ahead of them, provided we kept up our pace. Moving away from the river must have added 2 or 3 miles to our trek, but by sunset, Ulaba reckoned we had covered enough ground for the day. You don't move in jungle after dark if you have any sense. So we camped among the banyans and acacias, not risking a fire, but enjoying the rays of sundown gleaming through the groves, and the last chirping and calling of the millions of coloured birds in the branches overhead. It reminded me of the Madagascar forest, and you mayn't believe it, but I felt my eyes stinging at the memory of Elspeth, blue-eyed and beautiful, smiling up at me with her golden hair tumbled about her head on the grass, her arms reaching up to me with those lovely lips parting.
"My Joe, my own dear Joe."
Dear God. That had been more than 20 years ago, that strange idyll of joy and terror mingled when we'd fled from Antan with Ranavalona's hovers on our trail. Theodore's riders might be a fearsome crowd, and most professional by the look of them, but at least they were part civilized, unlike those black monsters. Strange, though, how history repeated itself. Here I was again, fleeing the forces of darkness through tropic forest in the company of beauteous Tumble. Not that Ulaba could begin to compare in looks, style, deportment, vivacity, elegance, complexion, allure, voluptuousness, abandoned performance, erotic invention, or indeed in any way at all to my glorious Elspeth, at the thought of whom I was beginning to dribble, and whom I loved dearly and truly, I may say, and had seen only at brief ecstatic intervals in the past 4 weary years. No, 5, damn it! It was too bad, and I missed her so, and God alone knew what she'd been up to while I was shirking shot and shell at Chancellorsville, Gettysburg, Yellow Tavern, Ford's Theatre and Quaratero. And look at me now, lachrymose in Ethiopia with the little grey monkeys sneering at me from the trees. Then the rain came on. It dawned gloriously sunny, however, and we were up and making for the river before first light. The closer we got to it, the thicker grew the jungle, which meant worse going for Theodore's cavalry. At last we sighted the gleam through the undergrowth, and presently came out on a long stretch of sward running along the water's edge. The river was about 1/4 mile across, I dare say, and a landscape painter's dream, grey-green and shining as it slid smoothly by through the little forested islands. The far bank was luxurious foliage, backed by green foothills rising to mountains, and to our right, a mile or two downstream, a faint mist hung over the river, with a perfect rainbow above it. Ulaba clapped her hands and pointed.
"This silver smoke! Am I not the Queen of Guides, as you said?"
For the first time since we had left Tana, there were folk to be seen. Fishermen pottering about their ramshackle boats a few 100 yards downstream, where the sward margin ended and the jungle overgrew the river's surface. Closer at hand, 2 girls were busy dobying clothing and hanging it to dry on a line by the water's edge, their little coracle drawn up on the bank. They stood up to stare at us, and when one of them waved, Ulaba raised a hand. My spirits were rising as we set off down the bank. The birds were carolling. There was a perfumed breeze blowing from the water. We were within a few miles of Journey's End. I was absolutely humming, "Drink, puppy, drink." The larks and snails were no doubt on their respective wings and thorns. God was in his heaven. And on the verge of the jungle, not 20 yards away, A white-robed helmeted lancer was sitting his horse, watching us. For three heartbeats we simply stared at each other, while I told myself this couldn't be what